Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. A change in topics today. We'll come back to talking about the why another day. But County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer in here this afternoon, and there are some newer things that you've been following recently.
We're always busy.
Yeah, so talk about the first one you mentioned is bird flu.
Yeah, so avian influenza is going around. And so avian influenza is an influenza among birds, and it's mostly among migrating birds, especially ducks and geese, and also somewhat among turkeys. And it causes high mortality in those groups. So they had a pond up in Eugene where a bunch of geese died from the avian influenza.
Now, I had heard about that a few days ago, and I don't think I read it very closely, but I thought, oh, this is just some isolated thing, but maybe not.
Well, it seems to be going along the Western Flyway. So, as you know, birds go up and down the West Coast, and it appears to be in the migrating flocks. And so it's a concern for two reasons. First, if people have birds, especially backyard chickens, if their flock gets infected, they're likely all to die. The other reason we worry about is that avian flu sometimes, rarely, combines with human flu to cause a virus which is both transmissible and deadly. Right now, we're not there, but the more avian flu there's around, the higher the chance that this will recombine with a human flu.
So if these birds are passing overhead, you happen to have backyard chickens or birds that are outside somehow, what kind of interaction is needed there?
So the kind of interaction where they might be close together. So for example, if your chickens are free range or out in the backyard and geese happens to be there where they share a pond, then there's a chance for the birds in your backyard and the migratory birds to connect and pass the virus.
Now, is this a new phenomenon?
So avian flus happen every once in a while. Actually, there was an avian flu that started in Roseburg about 8 years ago, and then it died out. But this is the most we've seen in the last decade or so.
Wow. What should the level of concern be about that?
The level of concern is generally low, except if you have a backyard flock. So if you have a backyard flock, I think you want to protect them from interacting with other birds. If you do see signs of illness in either your backyard birds or in birds in the community, you should call ODFW. We spoke yesterday with the state epidemiologist, a state veterinarian, and they really want to follow this carefully. So if people do see dead birds, please report them to ODFW.
Now, while cars drive up and down Interstate 5, birds kind of have their own path, but is their migratory area, I mean, is it a wide area, or do they tend to stick much like a freeway in kind of a smaller place?
So the flyways are obviously wider than freeways, but they're not that broad. So the flyway in Oregon is through Fern Ridge and then the freshwater lakes that come through. It turns out that the ponds in Douglas County are also places that are on the flyway.
So they don't necessarily follow a direct north path or south path, depending on what time of year.
It's just amazing how far they migrate, but birds do need water, and so they do tend to stop at places where there are large bodies of still water.
Wow. So is this being seen other places too?
So avian flus do circulate more regularly in Europe. This has been the biggest outbreak of avian flu on the West Coast in quite a while.
And for this time of year, anything else animal related in terms of health issues?
Well, the other thing that we always talk about at this time of the year is with bats and rabies. So we know that this time of the year, as people open up their houses, bats will sometimes get into their house. And bats do carry rabies in Oregon. So about 8% of the bats in Oregon carry rabies, and if they get in your house and then you try and get that bat out and get bitten or scratched, there's a risk of you getting exposed to rabies.
Now, a lot of times you can go years and years without seeing bats, but some people tend to run into them more often.
Well, bats are really fairly plentiful in Oregon, especially in Douglas County. They usually come out right in the evenings, but as we leave our doors open in the better weather, the bats can get in houses. So if you do have a bat in your house, no need to panic. No need to get it out, because you don't need to be a hero. Please call animal control and they'll get out. They'll get rid of the bat. They've all been immunized against rabies, so they can go in and safely remove the bat.
Now, if you do get bit or interact somehow, what do you need to do?
So if you do get bitten or scratched by a bat, please call public health or animal control right away. If we can capture the bat, we can have it tested for rabies. If we can't capture the bat, then you need to get treated as if you do have rabies.
And I understand that is not too pleasant.
Well, it used to be unpleasant. So back in the days, there used to be a long needle and it needed to be given intraperitoneally. That means a big needle in your tummy. That's
a medical term for a bit. There you go.
Yeah. So that was really unpopular. Now it's just a regular vaccine, but it's expensive and not pleasant. So we really would like people not to get exposed to rabies rather than get exposed and then need to get prophylaxed.
Now, in the midst of that whole situation, while you're waiting to get treated or whatever, do you end up sick? Well, what happens?
So you don't get sick. So the story with rabies is once you get sick, it's really, really bad. So the idea is to prevent it. And the way we prevent it is with rabies immune globulin, which is injected around the site of the bite, and then a rabies vaccine.
Wow. Do bat bites, I mean, is this a comparison to like a dog bite, or what do you feel?
So much more risk from a bat bite than a dog bite. In fact, there's not been a case of canine rabies in Oregon in a long time. So your highest risk actually is with bat exposure.
And but I mean, in terms of the level of how painful it is?
Oh, the bite itself is not painful at all. And in fact, that's some of the problem. People will sometimes try and get rid of a bat, get bitten, and not even recognize that they got bitten. In fact, some of the most recent cases of rabies elsewhere in the country have been people who only remember in retrospect that they had any bat exposure.
Well, and I've heard of that happening, like campfires, things like that, where you're outside. I mean, it gets late into the evening. People are relaxing. Sometimes people even sort of or do fall asleep out there, and then they're like, you know, what was that?
Yeah, so bats tend not to interact with humans. However, when we get in their spaces, for example, when we're camping around in the backyard, they'll sometimes fly and fly pretty low and sometimes can get caught up in human nets and lines and such.
Wow. And is this mainly a summertime issue?
Well, it's a summertime issue because the bats at this time of the year tend to go into places like houses and then find their way usually to the highest part of the house.
Wow. But do they, now, for instance, could one come in, somehow get into your attic or whatever, maybe inside of a closet and stay there for quite a while and you not know they're there?
So they can actually get into houses and nest. And so we'll sometimes see people who have nests of bats. So there are bat boxes that you can have. And there's just a very thin slit that the bats climb up and climb inside. So they'll occasionally get inside siding of houses or in roofs.
Or maybe even people that either accidentally leave something open, but like based on in an attic where you have a window that can open or something, and maybe it gets opened by the wind, or you leave it open when it's hot or something like that.
Exactly. And that's why we would ask people to screen their windows. But most of all, what we're asking from a public health standpoint is if you see a bat in your house, don't try and be a hero and get rid of it. Call animal control. They'll be happy to do so.
All right. More with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on Inside Douglas County. When we come back, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. And later today, Umpqua Valley Live, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. We're going to talk about music on the half shell and a number of other topics happening in the area in the next few days. No Inside Douglas County Monday, we've got the CBS News special in some of our news block locations, so listen for that. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer in today, covering a number of topics, and I can't even, not sure I'm going to pronounce the next one correctly.
Well, the next one is monkeypox.
And that sounds like a... I'm not sure what it sounds like.
Well, it sounds like something out of a comic book, but the story with monkeypox is that during the last century when we were eradicating smallpox, we recognized that there was a disease that was similar but much less severe than smallpox. And it was first isolated in monkeys and it's called monkeypox. This is a disease which is relatively uncommon. Typically spread, we think, first from rodents to people and then from people to people. It causes these pox, and pox are these blisters that later form into a crust. Most people alive have not seen smallpox, but I think many of us have seen chickenpox. And so this is somewhere between chickenpox and smallpox. And so we're seeing about 20 cases in the U.S. now, about 200 cases in Europe. So this is a disease which we usually don't see very much of. So there's a little resurgence of this disease.
And do we know why that might be?
We think there's been an outbreak in Western Africa. And we think what's happened is this outbreak in Western Africa has now come to Europe and now has spread among people who've had contact with each other in Europe and in the U.S.
Yeah, and much like we've talked about for the last 2 years of the pandemic, you get it, you may not know you have it, you go somewhere else, and then you give it to somebody else.
Right, and especially since monkeypox is so rare, many of the people who've had it have seen numerous physicians until it's been diagnosed because we've just not seen very much monkeypox.
So talk more about the symptoms.
Well, the symptoms starts with mild prodromal symptoms of fever, headache, and malaise, and then starts out with a rash that's blistery that later turns into these pus pockets and then turns into these dark crusts, really not unlike chickenpox. We don't see very much chickenpox these days either. So and anybody has that kind of funny rash with blisters, pustules, and crusts really should be seen by an older person for two reasons. First, older people have protection against monkeypox because we got smallpox vaccine. Mm. And smallpox vaccine gives protection. So probably should have somebody who's 60 or above make the diagnosis. Also, people who are 60 or above have seen lots of chickenpox and can help to distinguish amongst them.
That is probably the first time I have heard someone recommend that you go to an older medical provider.
Yes, and so I fit in that category. And so many of the new providers have actually never seen a case of chickenpox because chickenpox has really become much, much, much less common in the last 20 years due to the vaccine.
So how is it transmitted?
It's transmitted by close contact like chickenpox. There may be some airborne contagion, but most of the cases, at least in Africa, have contact with somebody else who has the disease.
So you talked about what you end up getting. What's the level of pain?
Because they're pox, they're uncomfortable. So if people can remember back to the time they had chickenpox, they're itchy and uncomfortable. But the disease does not have a high mortality.
Now, you probably shouldn't itch them.
Well, I don't think we're going to see very many cases. There are no cases in Oregon yet, and we may not see any cases at all. We're just asking people to be on the lookout if they have a funny rash with blisters or pustules to see somebody who knows the disease.
Interesting. Anything else out there health-wise right now going on?
Well, there's this thing called COVID.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that a lot.
We've talked about that a lot. And we're in the midst of a small surge of COVID right now, mostly due to the BA2 variant. So just about 5 weeks ago, we were down to three or five cases a day. We're now at about 20 or 30 cases a day. So a considerable increase. But the good news is most of these are mild. We only have 5 people in the hospital today, so relatively low hospitalization rate. And the vaccines seem to work very well to prevent the disease and certainly prevent the serious parts.
Now, is the entire state getting hit in a similar ratio?
Pretty much the whole country is in a small surge right now. The worst places are in New England and in the upper Midwest. Puerto Rico is really struggling, but it's not nearly where it was with Omicron or with Delta.
And people that I've talked to who've been dealing with it in, you know, recent weeks, if they've been vaccinated and boosted especially, it's kind of an annoyance because you've got to stay away. And you may not get that sick, but it can really mess up your schedule and your personal life and all that.
Clearly messes up your schedule and your personal life, but most of the people who have been vaccinated and or boosted have reported this a relatively mild disease.
And going into the summer, is there any indication of if this variant is expected to linger, how long that will be?
Well, we've seen in other countries that have had the BA2 variant earlier that it lasts about 4 to 6 weeks, and then it goes down. So, for example, the United Kingdom has been about 6 to 8 weeks ahead of us since the beginning of the pandemic, and they had a BA2 surge. Their BA2 surge is low, and they have a very low number of cases. So we would predict for Oregon that come the summer, we would have a very low number of COVID cases.
Now, let's talk about the aspect of this virus where some people, it is so totally different from person to person sometimes. Some people get it, are very sick, some are mildly sick. Some don't even, you know, barely know they're sick, and sometimes don't even realize they've gotten it. But others get very sick, and then they recover, but yet they've got a lot of long-term lingering symptoms. Talk about that.
Well, COVID is one of the most mysterious diseases, both in the range of illness. So there are other illnesses where there's severe and more severe, but this is one of the few diseases that has so many asymptomatic people, so many people with mild symptoms, and then goes all the way through people who die. So in out of 100 people who have it, something like 30 or 40 will have no symptoms or very mild symptoms. Another 30 or 40 will have moderate symptoms. 20% are sick enough that they need to be hospitalized, and 2% of the entire population who gets it dies.
And what about the things, though, that linger for months later?
Yeah, the long COVID is another thing which is really quite unusual. So people have illness, even quite mild, can have symptoms that go on for weeks or months thereafter. So loss of sense of smell or taste is the one that's most obvious because it's such a rare symptom. But for other people, the brain fog, the difficulty exercising, shortness of breath, and chest pain go on for months. So in my practice, we've seen a bunch of kids who had COVID, not very sick when they had COVID, but now weeks and months later complain of inability to exercise, chest pain when they exercise, and many of them said, my brain just isn't there, I just can't think right.
And because this is a two-year situation that we've been in so far, it's really hard to know what lies ahead, it seems like.
Well, the good news is that when we look at some of our earliest people who had long COVID symptoms, they do seem to be getting better with time. So this is the good news, is that with time does seem to help resolve some of these long COVID symptoms. However, there are still people who were sick in the spring of 2020 who still don't feel they're back to normal.
Wow. About a minute left with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Talk about the staff of Douglas Public Health Network, some of the things they're doing right now.
So we are getting back to our regular activities. We're still doing COVID, of course, but we're getting back to our regular activities. One of the things we're really working on are sexually transmitted infections. During the pandemic, not many people got tested, and yet we know the disease continued to spread. So we worry there's a big reservoir of sexually transmitted infections, especially syphilis out there. So we're having a special effort to go ahead and find those cases and eradicate them.
And if somebody thinks that they might have that, what's the best course of action?
So if anybody thinks they have any of the sexually transmitted infections, they should see the clinic up at Aviva where they do walk-ins and they can screen for sexually transmitted infections.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.